All like, right, here we go. Are we ready?
I guess.
Welcome to M Vibes Podcast.
Home of good music,
good libations,
and good vibes. Hello and welcome to M Vibes Podcast, season 4. Episode 2.
We got it. We nailed it that time.
Gooses!
Because it took us several tries last episode. Yeah.
I think alcohol had a lot to do with it last time. But we're back at our home place, Tommy's Pub. And we got the whole band back together tonight. So
It's like a reunion.
Yeah. It's been a while.
No guests today. So it's just us.
Yeah, just us.
We kept it in the family. Mm. What are you looking at?
Someone's headlights are shining in like... the front window, yeah.
The camera monitor.
Hello, camera.
Hello, camera.
Hello, camera.
I was going to see if I could just squeeze you out of frame.
No.
Please do. We'll probably get more viewership on YouTube.
Give you something to squeeze.
We love out of here.
All right, so what are we drinking?
Oh, man.
Are you drinking a candle?
I am. Actually, hold on. Just a little awesome gift from my podcast colleague, Amanda Hugginlove, St. Joe Strummer candle. This is the shit. This is actually pretty fucking cool.
That one cut me off guard.
Amanda Hugginhole. There you go. I'm drinking the Mighty Swell Blood Orange. It's not bad. Not my favorite drink. I was drinking the old Magners.
I was going to say, I thought you went back to Magners.
Yeah, I had two Magners before I started, so I started dropping off something lighter. And the old faithful Jameson.
Okay.
At least you said it right this time, unlike when you ordered it.
I never say JMO.
You just said
you
it.
You just did.
I never
Jamie
ordered.
Starts is going to not let us record here anymore if you keep calling it that.
Next thing you're going to order a PBR.
I know, a PBR.
You keep saying that. Every time you order Jameson, you'll get Malort.
Never again. Never again will
he's
I drink that
he's
shit.
He's still suffering from
I
that.
I can fucking taste it just thinking about it, yeah.
Oh, man, me too
it
now.
It tasted like burnt rubber.
Yeah. It tasted like fucking, yeah. Rubber bands, yeah.
Like if you soaked grass in a can of gasoline.
Yeah.
Man, it's delicious.
What are you drinking, Amanda?
I'm drinking Community Kolsch because, man, that's one of my very favorite beers coming out of Charlotte right now. They just nail it every time. So good. And I did have a little bit of whiskey because it's been like two months since I've had whiskey. So I had to kind of break that seal.
Yeah.
What better time?
I'm drinking an Irish style red by Sober Carpenter, which is a non-alcoholic craft brew. It's okay.
Jesus was a carpenter.
Yes, that's why I ordered it.
Karen was a carpenter.
Jeezy Creasy.
Yeah, but Jesus wasn't sober.
No, he made wine just like
he made the best wine in town.
He like wiggled his nose and it's wine.
You know what?
I bet like Elizabeth Montgomery.
I wonder how that recently. Wine tastes. Like Jesus, like this ain't water, wine.
He literally peed in a bottle and he passed it around. Like, hey, wine, motherfuckers. Which is what
I said. It's wine drinking, damn it.
Sounds like some prison toilet wine to me.
Yeah,
it's. I mean, it's okay. Sure, I could get used to this. It's it's close enough to beer that I can. I'm gonna try the IPA next.
You can feel good about yourself.
Yes, I can.
You did give me a sip of it, and it just tasted like wort.
Unsweetened wort, a little bit watery, very dry.
Proud of you though.
But yeah, a lot of roasted barley. Like you still get the malt. Very carbonated. It's almost like bad homebrew. Mediocre homebrew.
Only thing I can see on that can is 24 IBU.
Which honestly seems excessive for the way it tastes.
Yeah, that's not.
I would say it's under 15 IBUs.
Yeah, perceived bitterness is definitely lower than 15 IBU.
Yeah. What about you, Ernest?
What are you drinking, Ernie?
I'm having the huge.
The huge.
Yep, I got my
Huge guys.
My Heaven Hills Quality House Bourbon, cheapest bourbon you can possibly buy. That still tastes good. And Hop Drop.
Hop Drop and Roll.
Always good.
Yep. Yeah, I actually do miss that beer. Now they make like a gluten reduced version of that called River Jam, I think, or something like that. Yeah, I've tried it.
Yeah. What, did it affect you at all?
Oh, it did, like, immediately. So I was like, all right, well, fuck it. All right, whatever. Anyways.
So we wanted to touch up on an event that's coming up for us, Eric.
Yeah, the chili cook-off, man. It's going to be fun.
I don't know. Yeah, that's my contribution. That's my contribution.
It'll be fun. I myself as I have entered many a chili cook-offs and I've become champion. I'm pretty proud of my chili, but this time I'm not entering my chili. I'm going to be part of the hosting crew of this chili cook-off. So I'm curious as to what other styles of chili are going to come out and who's going to win. I mean, I've been a part of other chili cook-offs and there's been so many like oddball.
Yeah.
Chilies that have come out and won and just done some weird stuff. So I'm kind of curious.
Like people doing like a white chicken chili or like a vegetarian version.
I had one with bear. It was a bear chili with like bear meat. Yeah.
I guess like maybe like a
white chicken chili.
All right. Well, you can't enter either.
No, but it's still good.
So we can't enter. So you have to, and we all can make some bomb ass chili. So you're going to have to come and one up all of us. So you have to enter.
Yeah. So, you know, when is it? What's the date?
February 18th. I think I'm still going to make mine. And just serve it for free. You know, if you don't enter, you still get some chili. I'm also going to bust out the turntables again.
Yep.
And spin some tunes. Not all ska this time. We'll have a bit of a variety of stuff. But
So February 18th, there's a link on our social media that you can sign up for the chili. There's no entry fee for the chili. If you want to taste the chili, there is a $10 entry fee. You get to try all the chilies and then judge on them. All of the money that we collect, that we raise that day, is going to go to Second Harvest Food Bank. So we're not... we're trying to collect as much money as we can, obviously, but it's all going to be donated. We do have first, second, and third prizes that we're going to be awarding for.
Money, bitches, money. Yeah. You want to come win some money, make some chili.
Yeah,
I think first prize, there will be a cash prize for that. Yeah, and then after that, will be like some gift cards. I know, like, you know, Rachel.
Did you say $20?
Yeah, $20 million. I know, like, my boss, Rachel... at Pilot is going to donate a gift basket and there will be like a gift card to come get some beer and maybe some merch in there. And a couple other people are going to donate some things.
Yep. So there are some base rules though, right? Eric, right. That you laid out.
You have got to use a beer in your chili making.
Even if it's a non-alcoholic one.
Absolutely. Like yeah. That or a cider or me, you know, we don't give a fuck. And you also have to name your chili with some type of music theme to it. So, you know, like Beast of Burden chili or something like that. You know, there's some cool along those lines of chili. We're still looking for more teams to sign up. So please sign up. It's free to sign up. There's no entry fee. It should be a really fun day.
Yeah. So join us and make your best chili.
And I think it's a Saturday before Super Bowl, right?
Yes.
Okay.
No, and I'm sorry.
It's after.
Saturday after Super Bowl. Yeah.
And I think that for people who aren't meat eaters, I'll probably do a veggie or vegan chili because I'm vegetarian. And so if you still want to come out and participate and donate to Second Harvest and don't want to eat the meat chili, there will be something here for you to eat as well.
You could also enter one.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I've actually seen a person that made one with turmeric and mushrooms.
Oh.
And actually killed, you wouldn't think.
I would love that.
It was that delicious. Really it was delicious, yeah.
So, yeah, don't worry if you don't, if you can't eat meat or don't want to eat meat. There will be food for you as well.
Yeah. Mine's called the Beast Chili because I put five kinds of meat in mine. So.
That's not named after a song, though.
Beast.
Beast chili. Of Burden.
That's what I kind of gave away the name of it. Anyways, today's topic. Just wanted to let these guys know I'm never going to let them go.
You're never going to give me up?
Never.
Never going to let me down?
Never. Can you guess? Can you guess?
Yeah. So
anyways, yeah.
Today we're going to talk about Richard Paul Astley, just better known as Rick Astley.
I didn't know his middle name was Paul. Is he Irish?
No, he's actually British, which I did not know. He's English.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Right. He was born in, 66? And I have to actually read this.
He's older than my...
Newton Le Willows, England.
It's a very small town in northern England.
Is it? I never... And I kind of looked at the places around it, and I had I don't recognize any of these freaking names.
No, it was a real small town.
Yeah.
He's a small town boy.
Oh. But yeah, I had no idea he was from England. I thought he was American. And he was... I don't know why.
Because he sounds like a 50-year-old black man.
Yeah, pretty much. Which, interestingly, he actually started kind of his singing career and his love for music around 10 years old, singing for the local church choir there in his hometown. And kind of as he grew up, he began getting involved in a lot of the sort of local music scene there in his city. He dropped out of school. He didn't finish school. And instead started kind of, just playing the local music scene there. He played one of his, two of the biggest bands before he became sort of famous was a Beatles and the Shadows cover band called Giveaway. And then the other one was he was the drummer for a soul band called FBI. I was trying to find some of their music, but I really couldn't find any of it.
No, you can't even find it. And that's a lot of people don't realize that he started out as a drummer, not a singer.
Right.
Wow. Yeah.
He eventually moved to singing, because the lead singer and the guitar player was actually a guy named David Morris. He's currently a conservative, political figure in the UK. But he was also at the time, another local musician. David Morris actually became such a musician for both Whitesnake and Duran Duran. But yeah, both the lead singer and the guitar player, who was David Morris, left the band. So that sort of defaulted him as the singer of the band, which, completely altered the course of his career at that point, which, that's how we know him. Shortly after kind of that disbanded, he became the lead singer. He was scouted by Pete Waterman to join the Pete Waterman Limited Recording Studio, but he refused. And I'll tell you kind of about what that studio is and why they're famous. But he refused at first. So to kind of coerce him into it, he pretty much guaranteed them to hire the entire band, the original band, the FBI, to record with him. So that's kind of what won him over again. So that was pretty cool. RCA Records agreed to publish their music as a solo artist, not as a band, as an FBI anymore. And then he started playing, he started learning everything about sort of the music industry and whatnot. But the reason why Stock Aitken Waterman is so famous because they work with Kylie Minogue, Jason Donovan, Two Unlimited, Dead or Alive, and Bananarama. So they were a pretty big deal.
He was pretty much a paid intern for them.
Right.
He was the guy who went and got tea and biscuits and sandwiches and kind of was learning the ropes.
And he was learning the industry. Yeah.
The gopher. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then, obviously, as a result of that relationship, he released his first single in collaboration with Lisa Carter, which is kind of what we're going to focus on quite a bit, that first single and then what happened after that. Ironically, I did not know this, actually, but originally the original release did not chart at all. It went nowhere.
No, they pretty much shelved it. And then they were trying to shop him around and get him as a solo artist, which is why he left the band he was with, which was kind of hard for him to do. But he was like, I'm the one writing all the songs. I'm doing all the vocals. I'm playing a lot of the instruments. So why shouldn't I pursue this? But still, he was loyal to his friends and was having, he had the struggle to have that conversation, but he knew he had needed to do it. So we all know the song.
And if you don't know it from back in the day, you know it from more recent viral sensation.
So this is his big, his hit single, his first. He went through a lot of different recordings and a lot of incantations before they settle on this.
And full disclosure for me here, this is literally all I know of this guy. Like, even when, because I told you on our way, on our drive here, I didn't even know how to spell his last name until I started researching for this.
Isn't it?
That's how little I knew about this guy.
L-E-Y or L-Y? L-E-Y. L-E-Y, okay.
Yeah.
You can't hear this and not be happy.
Yeah, no, it's a great song, and that's why I know it, because it was huge. It was everywhere.
The vocal is great. The production is great. It's just, it's
an earworm.
It's pop gold.
Yeah.
So.
Now, it does feel a little bit like almost a parody song and a shit, like in a Saved by the Bell type show.
Well, that was appropriate for the time Saved period, too. Dope.
This is before Saved by the Bell.
No, I know, but
you're right.
Like,
you're
maybe
right.
Like this was what was the guy on Growing Pains? Like, what are the kids? Like, this was his
Mike
idol.
Siever.
Yeah, like kind of like almost not real music, but it's so contagious that obviously it. I don't know how to explain
it's
it.
It's '80s all the way.
Yeah.
And so some people from younger generations only know this from Rickrolling,
right?
And some of us remember when this was a huge
like
single.
Actually on the radio.
Yeah.
Huge hit.
Yeah.
Huge hit.
Played like every hour on Top 40 radio.
Yeah. Even my grandma was like, I like that Rick Astley fellow.
He's such a nice looking man.
Oh, yeah. I think that those words exactly came out of her mouth.
So, yeah, it was, I had to look it up because I actually didn't do it before. But yeah, so obviously it was released in July of 87.
July 27th, 1987.
Right.
to be exact.
Yeah, so for it, for it, he actually has won the, in 2008, so way after it came out, he won the MTV Europe Music Award for Best Act Ever with that song in 2008. Well, like, 30 years after it was released.
Really?
Yeah. But, I mean, it charted all
you
over
said
the world.
2008?
Yeah.
It was...
He won the MTV Europe Music Award for Best Act Ever.
Oh, I've got some details about the longevity of Rick Astley's career.
It kind of came back at that time. It's like...
That's when Rick Roll kind of... Yeah.
So...
Yeah, I can see that. Okay.
When they first started shooting the video for this... Like, he had no idea. Like, it's the first time he'd ever been on camera, and they're bringing in these backup dancers. He had no idea what he was going to do, which is why he's doing that awkward shuffle dance. So he had no, like, professional dance training, and he's just like, hey, I'm this guy doing this dance. And, like, everybody, like, when the video hit, everybody's like, what? This is a redheaded white boy from England?
Yeah, he's no Robert Palmer.
And the blazer looked awkward, too. Yeah. Like, this entire attire was
And at one point, he's wearing, like, a denim shirt and jeans in the video. It was, like, so awkward. And he was like, this is a
Canadian tuxedo?
Yeah.
I've been guilty of wearing that shit back in my 20s when I was stupid.
Hell yeah.
Hey.
I mean, the kids these days are probably doing it as a tribute to King Richard Astley.
It's coming back.
So, yeah, so he was like super awkward in the video, didn't know what to do. But it still ended up being like a huge, like we said before, a huge single. It was like all over MTV. You couldn't escape it. That was like his major hit. He did have other hit singles. He was not a one hit wonder.
No.
But over time, like as he got older, he was with his baby mama wife. Now they've been together for like 30 years. They just became parents, and he decided that the music industry was just not sustainable, and he didn't want to do what was required to stay relevant.
Okay.
Because he was like, his life was like completely being sucked up by all this. He's like, you know, I can't do all these interviews and press junkets. He's like, I'm a dad. I'm a husband. Like, I just don't want to do it. He's like, I've made enough money. I don't have to do this anymore. So he kind of took himself out of the equation and just became a dude. Like
But he did it for a good 10 years before he made that decision. Cause I thought I could remembering incorrectly, but that was in the early 2000s when he kind of took the hiatus, didn't he?
Well,
it could have been earlier. I don't know.
Well, let's see. Okay, so his big hit was in 87. And I think he was like 20, 21 years old. And then he left the industry at 27. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So another 10 years.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And he did release a couple more albums, but realized.
And he charted again with a couple times.
Yeah. Yeah. But he just didn't want to have to do all the self-sacrifice. Like he's like, I've already made enough money. I don't have to do this. Like I can just go be a normal human.
Right.
So that's what he did. He just took himself out of it. He was still interested in music, but not on a professional touring level.
You gotta have a lot of respect for artists in any medium that have done that, like the wherewithal and the restraint and the discipline to do shit like that. Because I mean, you know, money is just as addictive as any substance, right? I mean, you get addicted to substance abuse. I mean, to money, Eric. IPA.
Eric, whiskey.
We only interrupt this podcast for the very important things, like when we're running out of alcohol.
When we don't have an intern anymore.
I know. We've lost all our interns. So if you're interested in a non-paying intern, I guess not all internships.
No, you just show up and just bring us, we'll you just bring us drink.
We'll buy you beer.
We keep saying that.
We've never bought an intern a beer or ever.
No one has showed up yet.
I know.
You know, I mean, you're talking about like at the peak of his success, he was.
Oh, yes.
He was like outselling Michael Jackson and Madonna. Mm-hmm. Like that's how big he was. Yeah. And decided to take himself out because it wasn't who he was as a person. And he didn't want to do it. He made enough money. He was comfortable. He would just rather be with his family and not have to sacrifice everything in his life to keep propelling his career. So. You know, he's like, I'm done. I'm out of here. Like, it wasn't like his career ended because nobody cared about him anymore. He chose not to do the career anymore and just be a family man. So he's on vacation in Italy with his family in like 2006. And one of his dear friends, old friends, emails him. Hey, Rick, how you doing? I just wanted to send you this. And there's a link. And he clicks on the link. And it's the Rick Roll link.
So this is like, after he had that semi-retirement.
Yeah, he had been out of the industry for many years at this point. His friend's like, hey, this is what's happening right now. He's like,
oh, I thought you were going to say he was the original Rick Rolled.
No. So his friend sends him the email with the link and Rick rolls him. And he's like, what is this? He's like, I'm on vacation with my family. He's like, no, you don't understand. This is a phenomenon. And he sends him link after link after link. And he's like, oh my God, this is a thing. So the guy who originally created the Rick Roll.
Oh, that's exactly what I was looking at. How did this get started?
So there's this guy, where's his name? Sean Cotter, who is a military guy who was an aspiring YouTuber. So he.
Lil Wayne? That's his name.
No.
Oh, sorry. That's Jay-Z. Sorry.
I thought it was Welcome Back, Cotter.
That's what I thought, too.
Sorry.
Y'all done now?
Yeah.
Okay. Can I finish my story?
No.
All right. Go ahead. Take it.
I'm not. I'm just going to interrupt a lot.
All right. Okay.
All right.
Okay. Go ahead.
So the guy was an aspiring YouTuber and looked up music from the year he was born, which is 87. Thank you for making us all here feel very old. And the number one single was Never Gonna Give You Up. So he goes on 4chan and posts the first Rick Rolled link. Within 24 hours, it got like 20,000 hits. And then it started just blowing up. It was all over Twitter and Facebook and probably MySpace at that point. And it just became this internet phenomenon.
So I was reading as you were talking. There was a previous meme called duck rolling.
Yes,
which is how this came up. I don't even know what I'm looking. What duck rolling is now?
That was like it was. So
it's the same exact thing.
Rick rolling was a parody of duck rolling.
Of duck rolling, yeah.
But Rick rolling was much more entertaining.
So the only difference, yes, because the other one only led to a link of a picture of a duck on wheels instead of what it is claimed.
Yeah.
So,
okay. And it even ended up being in political campaigns because during one of John McCain's campaign speeches, somebody had hacked in. And what he, John McCain was like, Senator Obama does not. And then the video goes to the Never Gonna Give You Up.
He got Rickrolled in a campaign speech?
Yes, on the big screen.
That's awesome.
Poor McCain.
Just hilarious. Yeah, so it ended up just being like, one of my dear friends who's a regular pilot told me this story about he follows everything on Reddit. Rick Astley actually runs his own Reddit page and he interacts with a lot of fans.
That's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, it's not like a manager. It's actually him doing it. And he posted like footage from a concert at XYZ City, whatever. And this guy was like interacting with Rick Astley. He's like, oh man, I remember that concert. My mom took me. She paid extra to get the meet and greet. You came out and signed my record and took pictures with us. And here's my Flickr account with all the pictures from the meet and greet. And he posted the link.
And it was Rickrolled.
He Rickrolled Rick Astley. And Rick Astley came back and was like, man, you got me. And he was like, totally embraced it. Just laughed his ass off.
Is awesome.
Rick rolled the Rick. I mean, I'm like, man, come on, that's a great story. Like, you gotta love a guy who can embrace that level of
instead of like other people who just kind of like have a grudge against what made him successful because it eventually becomes some sort of parody or not as respectful as they want it to be. That's cool. That's really cool that he embraced it because, I mean, just as a weird comparison, like Vanilla Ice, who fucking hated Ice Baby for the longest time but it was like, dude, it's what made you who you are. Now he's embraced it again. Like, he's all about Ice Baby for a while.
He caught so much shit, though.
He tried to do that hardcore version of the Ice Baby.
I like that. I saw him live in Houston when he was in that phase.
He just got shit on so much that it was actually an awesome show.
What's his, the dude from Smash Mouth that gets all butt hurt over the memes about him?
I don't know his name, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
He left the band.
Because he was butt hurt?
No, he got hammered at some... they were doing some beer festival and he got shit faced and was doing some dumb shit. So
he should be in the podcast. That's what we do.
He'd be a
great host.
Let's bring him on.
But I mean, how do you have Smash Mouth without the guy who sings for Smash Mouth? So not the same thing anymore.
That's the superstar. No, what, a rock star song, right?
Yeah, that's from Shrek and all that shit. Yeah.
Hey, now you're a rock
star.
Yes.
Get your game on.
I kind of thought they were there.
They're the ones who one-hit wonder. I'm a Believer, right?
Yeah, and they're on the Shrek soundtrack.
But their first song was that Walking on the Sun. You might as well be walking on the sun. Yeah.
That was a good keyboard on that.
Yeah, it was. That was actually
I forgot about that. Solid album.
I think they also do a
cover of Question Mark and the Mysterious song, which we only found out when we did the Question Mark and the Mysterious episode. But,
they did all the Shrek soundtracks.
Yeah.
So all their songs were covers for the Shrek soundtrack. So yeah.
Anyway, back to Rick.
Anyways, yeah.
Okay, so something else he did recently, he went on stage with Foo Fighters.
I saw that.
Foo Fighters just Rickrolled their audience. And Rick Astley came out and actually sang on stage. And they should have had him jump on the drum kit.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's interesting. When you were talking,
he played drums. So,
you were talking earlier about his progression, I was thinking about Dave Grohl.
Yeah.
That's exactly who I was thinking about.
I mean, not that there'll ever be a replacement for Taylor Hawkins, but it would be pretty cool if they got...
But Dave Grohl started as a drummer.
Yeah.
And then he became a frontman. Yeah. So it's pretty much what
it makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
He really took it in stride and embraced all of that and has kind of revitalized his career a little bit. And... when I'm researching that, I saw there were some albums in the middle of all this that he released two records that he recorded at home in his studio, which he recorded every single instrument.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, there aren't a lot of artists that can do that. And so you
can rock. Sorry. Sorry.
Beck.
Sorry.
Matthew Sweet.
Yeah, sorry. I mean, there's Tread a few. There's a few out sorry. There.
There's a few, but it's not common. And so
I don't know why I said that. Sorry.
I don't know why you did either. Why don't you just sit over there and look pretty?
You
have like
up.
Musical Tourette's tonight.
Penis pussy. Oh, sorry.
Thank you for your input. Now shut up.
But that says a lot about him as a musician. Whenever people just want to reduce him to that one song right. or the meme, and not give him the respect he deserves.
So like when go ahead.
His background and his musical skill and his songwriting skill.
Well, his voice is tremendous.
Absolutely.
His voice is fucking tremendous.
Yeah.
When did he release those other albums? You know,
they were kind of scattered out in between.
Was it after he had stopped? Like, was it recently after the Rick World came out?
It was like around like maybe like 2016-ish.
Okay, so Rick World was already a thing.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
What I was going to ask is, have you heard those newer records?
I listened to a couple of them. They are, some of them got a little like pop dance.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, is it progressively that did it change drastically the sound?
And some of it did get a little bit more soulful. It just depends on where you hit in his. Excuse me, sir.
I love this fucking podcast. This podcast is this shit, man. If you're not here watching it every week at Tommy's, you're missing out.
But you see him like trying to like express different outlets of creativity, but the voice is always still there. The pop sensibility is always still there. The musicianship, I don't think people give him enough credit for what he can do, because it's just, you know, like, oh, here's this guy who just did this one song and that's all we know.
Well, I don't think they know that he can do more than just sing.
Well, no,
it was never out there until right now.
Well,
if you're listening,
if
to the
you
podcast.
Did your research,
we are the first to expose.
You did the research, so I did, thank you.
But in all fairness, I think
if
you talk about sort of the type of music that he made back then and the type of music that he makes now, is not going to resonate with us as adults, because we kind of already left that behind for the most part, and it's certainly not going to resonate with children, because it's all about trap and like, you know, like what's her name? The skinny girl, Taylor Swift. And
oh my god,
I have like three of her albums. I love her music.
I thought you loved Taylor.
I love Taylor.
Swift.
She's more than just a skinny
girl.
That's the look. That's how I described her.
I just can't believe you said that.
I said what I said.
He did do a tour a few years back where there was a promoter that approached him and was like, hey, we just wanted you to come play for small audiences, like 100 people. There's no press junket. There's no, like, you can come out and sing whatever you want. You don't have to do the hit songs. And so he was coming out doing like standards, like covering like Frank Sinatra, Burt Bacharach.
Oh, I would love to have
the voice for that.
I was like, man, why don't you do that record? Like Rod Stewart did that record and it was garbage. I think Rick Astley could do that and cover
absolutely.
Like
he could definitely pull off the standards.
Those jazz standards.
Absolutely.
And like this, like, sorry, I'm taking a sip.
Sorry,
of this
we order the non-alcoholic IPA. I like this a little better.
That's way better.
Yeah.
But I think he could really pull, and even like some old soul music, like doing like some old Motown and Stax record
he's
stuff.
He's definitely got the pipes to do that.
I think that if, for me personally, again, I don't know anything about this guy other than that song, but I can certainly recognize the fucking pipes that he has on him.
Yeah.
If he probably chose a different genre of music, as you were talking about now, like maybe more on that Frank Sinatra, Burt Bacharach type style.
Embracing that adult contemporary. Yes,
I think he would. I think I would appreciate it a lot more.
Doing some jazz standards, like some big band stuff. Even like
big band.
And he was really big into like a lot of like old rockabilly and early Beatles.
That,
like,
would be another good genre for him.
Like, I think he could pull that off. So something else that really brought him to the forefront to my mind, and why I wanted to talk about him on this podcast, is, did you know that he's a craft beer nerd?
Did not know that. I couldn't even spell his last name.
Really?
Yep.
So, I wonder what he would think about my non-alcoholic IPA.
If he comes through town, I'll work on him, man.
So
I'm sure you
Mikkel
would.
From Mikkeller. Oh my God, y'all hush so I can tell the story. I'm trying to drop some knowledge on y'all.
I love that brewery.
I'm sorry.
So Mikkel from Mikkeller.
Mikkel from Mikkeller, who's a big fan of The Asked Man.
The Imbibes podcast. Oh, sorry.
Approached Rick Astley and asked him if he wanted to come make a beer. And because he's worked with other bands. I think he did a beer with Mastodon and some other.
Yeah.
And he asked Astley, that's a tongue twister, to come brew a beer and collaborate with him. And Rick Astley was like, I don't know anything about this, but yeah. So they took a trip to Belgium and went to, and they were drinking Pharaohs and Lambics and all these other traditional Belgian beers. And he got an education and he was like, wow, this is not what I thought beer was. I'm absolutely in love with this. I definitely want to do this. So they made a beer with Mikkeller called, hold on, it's in my notes. I'm looking for it. Astley's Northern Hop Lager. And that's a reference to him being from Northern London and his weekend sock hop dances.
Ah.
And it was a red lager with ginger.
It would have been much cooler if it was called that and it was like a stout. Because then you would Rickroll everyone with your beer.
Or a porter.
But so he got so enamored and involved with it that he backed Mikkeller financially and they opened a brew pub in London, which Rick Astley is a part owner in.
Oh, that's shit. Really cool.
Isn't
now,
that awesome?
Now we definitely have to have him on the podcast.
That is
awesome. They actually brew through a few gluten-free beers, too. So that'd be awesome to try them, yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. No, I'm sorry.
Fuck you, Ernest.
Rick Astley cares.
Yeah.
He's your friend.
Someone he just doesn't want to smell your farts.
Yeah. Hey, I haven't farted all episode yet, so.
Yet.
Hold on.
Oh, yet. My, stop.
So does that beer have distribution here in the States?
No, that was a few years ago. I think it was like 2017, 2018.
Sorry, there's no more.
Yeah, but they still have the brew pub in North London if we want to, you know.
I'm down.
Let's fuck it. Let's go to London.
Road trip.
I'm down.
boat trip.
That one cut me off.
Plane trip.
So we haven't heard a whole lot of music in this episode because everybody just knows that one. But let's play the second follow-up single because this is another banger.
Same song. It sounds exactly the same.
Same producers.
Are you sure this is?
Are you sure?
What are you doing over there, Ernest? No, next song. Oh, yeah. No,
this is the same fucking song.
See, it sounds the same to you, too.
This is like the hazy IPAs of fucking...
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God. In the video, I can see Ernest's screen right now. It looks exactly the same.
This is literally the hazy IPAs of songs. It was the same exact song as before. Literally.
That just changed the hop profile. That's all.
No wonder he charted again. He's just releasing the same song over and over.
He Rickrolled you with that second song.
See, Rickroll. He was Rickrolling before Rickrolling was a thing.
Well, he said like during his like hiatus from the music industry, he would not like perform these songs live unless it was like a friend's wedding. And now he says he does them at his friend's kid's wedding.
Oh God. Yeah, I guess if you buy the album, then you'll like it because yeah, I mean it's. We honestly thought it was the same fucking song.
And I just... He's a good-looking guy.
It sounds exactly the same.
I would do him.
I have a list of, like, hot gingers, and for some reason, I've never put Rick Astley on my list of hot gingers. And I think he's, like, skyrocketing to number one right now.
Yeah.
He might be beating out Damian Lewis at this point.
I don't know who that is.
Sergeant Dick Winters from Band of Brothers.
Never seen that show.
Dick
that
who?
Show is 20 years old.
Homeland.
I don't watch television that.
Prince Harry.
Oh, yeah.
Prince Harry's on my list of gingers.
That's fair. What about that other singer guy? Harry Styles?
He's not a ginger, but he's on my list.
Isn't there a singer that's pretty famous that's a redhead? That's kind of like in that Harry Styles.
Ed Sheeran?
It's that guy. Yeah.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Carrot Top?
Ed Sheeran, no.
Oh, that kid from Harry Potter grown up. He's kind of hot now.
I don't know his real name.
Rupert Grint.
Is that his name?
Yeah. I mean, Ed Milfim. God, I'm so inappropriate.
Have you heard this podcast? Actually, one of the things when we publish is now that we started publishing on YouTube, message. Now that we started publishing on YouTube, it asks us, was this recorded for children?
So what is Rick actually doing now? What's he doing now?
I mean, now he's, well, he, last summer he was in town and I was like, I wish
here
I still,
in Charlotte?
Yeah. He was that. On the mixtape tour.
With who? Oh yeah. With,
New Kids on the Block, yeah. Salt and Pepper in Vogue, which I wish I had gone to that. I really do. Or at least tweeted at him and invited him to come make a beer with me.
Wasn't Naughty by Nature on that tour too, I think?
Salt and Pepper.
OPP. How could I explain it? Frame by frame it.
Are you okay?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Yeah, and I kind of would, if New Kids on the Block wasn't on that tour, a little bit.
Because I was thinking the same thing. Listen, when you said, I wish I had gone. And I was like, I don't know about New Kids on the Block.
But everybody else,
I would have loved to see.
So I was listening to Rick Astley on Questlove's podcast, which if you haven't listened to.
Questlove's the shit.
Man,
the
roots. His podcast is the toots. But Rick Astley was talking about the format for that tour was like, it was like, nobody was really headlining. Like each act would come out and do like two or three songs and cycle through.
That was like the Wu-Tang Nas show that we saw. Yeah. Like nobody really headlined. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody just kind of collaborated and people come on stage together. So there wasn't.
Which was cool.
Is he still touring?
It made it a much cooler show versus just like Nas coming out doing his shit. Wu-Tang coming out doing their shit. It makes it more entertaining. Sorry.
Yeah, people coming on stage together and kind of bouncing off that energy together. It's fun.
There are a lot of good shows coming up here in the spring as far as festivals go. Shaky Knees Festival in Atlanta. Allison Krauss and What's His Nuts are coming through town.
Allison Krauss and What's His Nuts. You mean Robert Plant?
Robert Plant, yes.
The lead singer of Led Zeppelin,
yes.
Oh yeah. Oh, What's His Nuts?
What's His Nuts? I don't care I don't care if I spend my last dime on that show. I'm going to that show. It might be my last chances ever see her.
That's unbelievable that you.
You're fired.
Allison Krauss by name.
I call Robert Plant. What's His Nuts?
And not
I'm sorry.
Robert Plant by name.
I'm sorry.
Well, one of them is a pedophile.
Oh. Allison Krauss.
I'm fine with that. I mean, forget it.
Anyway. Also, we have a Twitter now.
Oh, we do.
We do, with zero followers.
Yeah, well,
I'll get
it
on there.
It opened yesterday, so.
I'm gonna at Rick Astley on this one. And
I might renew
and hopefully he won't sue us.
I renew my Twitter account.
So you asked me to make it and I made it. And I posted about season 4, right? The release with the Greg Parrish episode that we released. I fucking hate Twitter. Like because it's just the limitations of it.
Fucking deleted it like 3-4 years ago.
It was
a fucking cesspool.
I don't even care that. Yeah, I'm not gonna ever like go on there. But just posting on it is such a logistical nightmare with how many characters you have.
You're a logistical nightmare.
Oh, it's a hell of a lot more than it used to be.
So it's still like 144.
I thought they extended it,
sir. Maybe.
No. It went to 144. It used to be less.
Yeah, but that was like, anyway, doesn't matter. But yeah, it sucked because like the post, you know, that we did for the Greg Parrish episode, I had to condense it to like 4 sentences and lose half of the hashtags and it sucked. It just,
Yeah, just do hashtags. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. But yeah, so yeah, we also have the YouTube channel and the Twitter.
Yeah, it's not like anybody's going to listen to that one anyway.
Yeah,
anyway,
that's true.
Has anyone been to any cool shows lately? Anything,
I haven't been doing a damn thing.
Because I was.
Tell us.
I almost died this weekend.
That's way more entertaining than what I did. So
okay, tell us.
No, I want to hear about a show first.
All right.
Show first.
I went to
I was supposed to go and I missed it.
I went to a sold out show at the Edge Milestone.
Almost died.
It was a band called All Right, which I wasn't expecting much, but I was blown away. They were pretty good.
Are they local?
Yes. They're local.
Were they all right?
They were all, you know what's funny? You know what's funny is when they came out, I was that guy. I was like, all right.
Oh, God. I don't know why I hang around, Joel.
Nobody laughed. That's all right, though. So anyways, Friday night, I went to go see All Right, one of my favorite bands off with their heads, who actually opened for a local band here in town called Dollar Signs, which I had never heard of before, heard of their music.
They're fire.
I listened to them on Spotify, and I was like, wow, these guys are awesome. I thought the bill was wrong at the Milestone, but it wasn't. So Off With Their Heads did indeed open for Dollar Signs.
Yeah, when you tell me, I was a little surprised, too.
Yeah, that's really cool. Well, it was only a two-man band. So it was a guy on drums and the lead singer playing
guitar.
Yes. That was all that was there from Off With Their Heads.
Okay.
But they still played everything. They didn't play like the really well-known songs, like the first, like last four songs of the night. So everyone was kind of like,
like nobody cared, really.
Everyone was kind of like, all right, whatever, man. And then they played their last four, the place went fucking ecstatic. And then when Dollar Signs came out, holy fuck, dude. That fucking place, they almost burned that place to the ground. That fucking place went crazy.
They play here at Tommy's Dollar a lot, Signs too.
Going is to with that's shit, a shit, dude. They blew me away. I had heard their songs on Spotify. I'm like, yeah, this sounds like some cool shit. Dude, I was not ready for that at all. The crowd for Dollar Signs was nuts. They were crowd surfing. There's no fucking place to crowd surf in fucking Milestone. There's people getting trampled on there. That was a great fucking. I got my ass kicked twice. I lost my glasses. I had a fun night, man.
Sounds like a good night.
Yes. Yeah. That was a very cool night for punk rock in the Queen City. Besides that, though, I didn't do shit.
Yeah, we might do that tonight.
What, crowd surf? There's like five people here.
We can try, though.
All right. Ernest, you are not allowed to crowd surf. You know, though, for some fucking reason, I'm always the guy that helps people crowd surf.
Well, so what I got coming up is, I'm unapologetically a Grammys nerd. And this will probably air after the Grammys, but I don't care. Like I don't like all award shows, but I love the Grammys. I know it's garbage. I don't remember
the last time I saw them.
Man, it's okay.
I'm with you on that.
My little baby boy Harry, and my little baby girl Tay Tay, and my future ex-wife Brandy.
Who?
Brandy Carlisle.
Sorry. And she's touring with Pink. Sorry.
And yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And my future best friend Lizzo, are all nominated up against each other. So I'm like, it's a nail biter. This is my Super Bowl, y'all. And so I'm definitely gonna watch it. Super excited about that. And then we got the Dark Hearts Ball coming up here at Tommy's with DJ Velveteen. And our friend Marvin makes these delicious, amazing chocolates that he's going to be out here selling his chocolates. So it'll be like a Dark Hearts, like Broken Heart, Goth Valentine's.
That's cool.
Anti-Valentine's party with dancing and fancy chocolates and good drinks. So I'm looking forward to all those things.
Awesome. I haven't done anything. My social life is pretty non-existent right now. Self-inflicted, but that's fine. So yeah, I do want to go to like Dollar Signs. I believe is playing with $1,000 movie here at Tommy soon.
Oh, that sounds fun.
I do want to go to that.
I'm telling you, man, that'll be a great show.
Other than that, that sounds like a great show.
Yeah, I haven't really done anything. Okay, just been kind of
Dollar Signs. If you're listening, we want you on the show. I'm telling you, that'd be great. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt again.
No, it's fine. I was done.
It's kind of what I do, though.
We can invite them.
I did.
Just now?
Yeah, no, I did on Friday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that it?
I think so. Let's play us out with this.
No, that's not it.
Oh.
Ernest ain't done talking.
Oh, Ernest.
I got something to say.
Okay.
Oh.
I killed your mommy today.
Doesn't matter much to me.
Yes, she's dead.
No, they're talking about what I have coming up. So I got, it's going to be a tribute to, Doc Watson.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah. About that.
At Neighborhood Theaters.
Because one of our fired interns is going to that with you, correct, John?
So actually, he apparently knew Doc Watson.
Yeah, he used to check him out at the grocery store. Not check him out.
Carry his groceries out to the vehicle.
Ring him up and bag his groceries at the Food Lion or whatever. In Boone. Whatever.
And Boone.
Yeah, not check out.
So, Jack Lawrence and the Charlotte Bluegrass All-Stars are going to be doing a tribute to Doc Watson for the love of Doc February 17th at Neighborhood Theater. So that should be
good. Sounds like a great show.
Yeah. So, and at some point, we'll probably have some members of Charlotte Bluegrass All-Stars.
That would be awesome.
On the podcast.
Man, that'd be awesome. For sure.
So we need more microphones then.
So, we're talking to probably won't have all of them, but we'll talk to Chad and Austin, get them on here.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah. Adios.
All right. Amigos. I think that's everything.
So you want to play us out with the soulful sounds of Rick Astley? In this cover?
Do a cover.
But it sounds exactly... I'm just kidding. He's got bongos in this one.
Look at the cheekbones on that man. I'm just saying. He's number one on my gingers list.
I can appreciate this a lot more than the other stuff.
I like this a lot.
Yeah.
Ooh, this shows some of his range.
Yeah. Yeah, again, if he makes this more his style, I think he would probably... Yeah.
I mean, it's still very,
it's still very poppy and dinty, but...
You can hear, what a great vocalist he is.
Imagine him... Yeah, again, something with a lot where he can actually just use that fucking voice to hit ranges and long notes.
When was this recorded?
It should tell you on the thing that you're playing.
He truly is a great singer.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
And I really do love him unironically, not
But...
Is internet sensation
right? The issue with something or someone like Rick, for me personally, is that there's no denying the fucking talent, but if the music does nothing for you, I'm not gonna be so. It's not wasted talent, obviously, but I think you could do a lot more with a different genre of music. This is just not appealing.
You hear
music.
This canned saxophone in the back of your... Like, if you isolated his vocals away from all of this...
That noise, yeah.
And, if he actually performed with a real band...
Right.
With talented musicians, not computer-generated crap.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree.
So this definitely has something like that 80s
yeah,
kind of
yeah, that
electronic beat into it.
Overproduced.
Well, yes. The music almost sounds like it's one of those fucking keyboards that you just put a sample song and you just start like, it's just,
well,
like
that's how,
it's canned generic shit.
That's how his first album completely was recorded. It was all computer. Like the strings, the horns, the drums, everything was electronic.
I guess that's a good way for me, the way I feel about it. It's just uninspired, insipid music with great fucking vocals.
Yeah.
This is a Otis Redding song, right?
No. Temptations.
Yes.
Okay.
And if he did this with an actual band, right, it would be mind-blowing. But this overproduced, like, studio crap,
yeah,
it doesn't do justice to the level of his...
with a full band behind him playing this song.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, some artists succeed like that, you know, but yet we've seen some artists, when we listen to the recordings, we're like, eh, but when we see them live, we're like, oh, damn.
And we've seen vice versa.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I think it's more common vice versa. A lot of people sound shit live.
There's some bands that are great in the studio that really know how to use that equipment, and they're studio musicians, and then when they get on the stage, they're just not there, and there's some bands that are just great live that does not translate to a studio album.
Their live engineers sucks.
All right, well, that's all we have for today. We do want to close on a little bit of a note. I mean, if you follow us on social media, you're fairly aware of this, but you know, it's ironic that earlier Ernie and I had that little back and forth about when the podcast started and how long it's going on, and Amanda saying that no, not us, right? And if you've been listening to this podcast from season one, which is not currently published, just mostly for aesthetic purposes, really, you know that the first season, if you go through all our catalog, it starts in season two. In the first season, I created the podcast originally with another guy named Jason Curry, who is an amazing human being and was a good friend. And we, Jason and I met while I was working at the Carolina Beer Temple, which is a craft beer bar here in Charlotte. And we became good friends. We bonded over beer. We bonded over music. He also was a vinyl collector, and he also listened to punk. And I mean, his music range, like what he listened to, was so eclectic and far reaching. And, you know, we bonded over that. And then when kind of I had this idea about the podcast, he immediately latched onto it. It's like, oh my God, that's great. Let's do this. Like he was so excited and we did it. In that first years, I mean, it was a lot of like, you know, errors, and we tripped and we fell a lot, and we had no fucking idea what we were doing. And our quality was shit for the most part. And we had no clue what we were doing, but it was fun. We were drinking and very much like this. Yeah. It was just, we would just roll on the floor laughing constantly. We would laugh at our own mistakes. I mean, the research was shit. I mean, it was funny in an amateur as fuck sort of way. So unfortunately, Jay passed away, last week. So, you know, it did affect me in a way. This is sort of, you know, the direction that this podcast has taken, he was heavily, he heavily influenced sort of what the logo was, what the look is, the marketing and everything. And he was part of that. So, you know, it was just really hard to kind of hear that. And I think at one point, who you were with me, right, Ernie? You know, he even talked about it, you know, coming and doing some guest spots for this season four and whatnot. Yep. And
absolutely.
And now we won't get too soon.
He was a great fucking dude.
He was amazing. Yeah. You bumped him with me when what was it? The
Bryant Fest episode.
No, yeah. Well, yeah, but, when we went to see, from Atlanta,
Goody Mob.
Yeah. Yeah, he was with us. So, you know, just it came as a shock, and just, you know, our hearts are with his family, and you know, we just want to kind of give him a little mention about that, because he's always going to be part of the show no matter what, right? Because he was part of the genesis of this project, which I love, and I think you guys share that love about this project. So,
and I never met him, but listening to what y'all were doing as part of this project is what inspired me to approach you. Is like, I was joking one day when you came into pilot. I was like, hey, when are you going to have me on the podcast as a guest? And you're like, well, actually.
Yeah.
And so, like, if it weren't for the ground that the two of you had laid together to create this, like, I wouldn't be here right now. And I'm eternally grateful to be a part of this. And it makes me very happy. And so I have much respect for that creation, that backstory and where we are now and where we're going to go and move forward in the future. Yeah. And if it weren't for him, we wouldn't be doing this.
Right.
So mad respect for that.
Rest in peace, brother.
Rest in peace.
Sure.
That's it for this episode. Thank you.
Adios.
We're never going to give you up. We're never going to let you down.
A huge shout out to our gracious host, Tommy's Pub. Located at 3124 East Wade Drive, Tommy's Pub is a small neighborhood bar that's big on music and community. Go to Tommy's Pub's Facebook page where they regularly provide updates about upcoming events to include weekly open mic night, karaoke, and live music from some of the best up-and-coming bands in the Queen City. Thank you, Tommy's Pub, for hosting M Vibes Podcast. We have a lot of interesting episodes coming up about music's most interesting topics, but we want to hear from you and what episodes you'd like to hear. If you have an idea for anything we should talk about, email us at mvibespodcast@gmail.com. This episode was produced by BWM Productions and researched by Eric, Amanda, and Javier. If you like our podcast, please help us by rating and reviewing us on your favorite listening platform. And follow us on Instagram and Facebook at mvibespodcast. Come on and join in the conversation. My heart is close to breaking. It reminds me of my youth. It's a dream that never fades.